We don't go out and kill the enemy like they did. And yet we do. It has very literal physical effects in our life. We have very literal physical choices to make. We need to choose between the flesh and the spirit, just like Gideon had to choose between the two in this story here. His flesh was weak, but he wanted to do God's will. We probably have many areas where we're working with God. Probably a few areas this morning where we may be working against God, and we'll allow the Spirit to reveal that to us as we meditate on it. Judges chapter 6, verse 1. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel. And because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them dens, which are in the mountains, and caves, and strongholds. And so it was when Israel had sons that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites, and the children of the east, even they came up against them, and they encamped against them, and destroyed the increase of the earth, till thou comest unto Gaza, and left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep, nor ox, nor ass. For they came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for multitude. For both they and their camels were without number, and they entered into the land to destroy it. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. And it came to pass, when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt, and brought you forth out of the house of bondage, and I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of all that oppressed you, and drave them out from before you, and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell, but ye have not obeyed my voice. And there came an angel of the Lord, and sat under the oak, which was in Ophrah, and pertained to Joash the Abizurite. And his son Gideon threshed wheat by the rine press, to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him, and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all the miracles which our fathers told us, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us, and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said unto him, Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. And he said unto him, If now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. Depart not hence, I pray thee, until I come unto thee, and bring forth my present, and set it before thee. And he said, I will tarry until thou come again. And Gideon went in, and made ready a kid, and unleavened cakes of an ephah of flour. The flesh he put in a basket, and he put the broth in a pot, and he brought it out unto him under the oak, and presented it. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, Take the flesh and the unleavened cakes, and lay them upon this rock, and pour out the broth. And he did so. Then the angel of the Lord put forth the end of his staff that was in his hand, and touched the flesh and the unleavened cakes. And there rose up fire out of the rock, and consumed the flesh and the unleavened cakes. Then the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. And when Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, Gideon said, Alas, O Lord God, for because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face. And the Lord said unto him, Peace be unto thee. Fear not, thou shalt not die. Then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord, and called it Jehovah Shalom. Unto this day it is yet an Ophrah of the Abizurites. And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, Take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father hath built, that thy father had, and cut down the grove that is by it, and build an altar unto the Lord thy God upon the top of this rock, in the ordered place, and take the second bullock, and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the grove, which thou shalt cut down. Then Gideon took 10 men of his servants, and did as the Lord had said unto him. And so it was, because he feared his father's household and the men of the city, that he could not do it by day, that he did it by night. And when the men of the city arose early in the morning, behold, the altar of Baal was cast down, and the grove was cut down that was by it, and the second bullock was offered upon the altar that was built. And they said one to another, Who hath done this thing? And when they inquired and asked, they said, Gideon the son of Joash hath done this thing. Then the men of the city said unto Joash, Bring out thy son, that he may die, because he hath cast down the altar of Baal, and because he hath cut down the grove that was by it. And Joash said unto all that stood by him, Will ye plead for Baal? Will ye save him? He that will plead for him, let him be put to death while it is yet morning. If he be a god, let him plead for himself, because one hath cast down his altar. Therefore on that day he called him Jerubbaal, saying, Let Baal plead against him, because he hath thrown down his altar. Then all the Midianites and the Amalekites and the children of the east were gathered together, and went over and pitched in the valley of Jezreel. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, and Ebiezer was gathered after him. And he sent messengers throughout all Manasseh, who also was gathered after him, and sent messengers unto Asher, and unto Zebulun, and unto Naphtali. And they came up to meet them. And Gideon said unto God, If thou wilt save Israel by my hand, as thou hast said, behold, I will put a fleece of wool in the floor. And if the dew be on the fleece only, and it be dry upon all the earth beside, then shall I know that thou wilt save Israel by my hand. So thou hast said. And it was so, for he rose up early on the morrow, and thrust the fleece together, and wringed the dew out of the fleece, a bowlful of water. And Gideon said unto God, Let not thine anger be hot against me, and I will speak but this once. Let me prove, I pray thee, but this once with the fleece. Let it now be dry only upon the fleece, and upon all the ground let there be dew. And God did so that night, for it was dry upon the fleece only, and there was dew on the ground. Then Jerubbaal, who was Gideon, and all the people that were with him, rose up early and pitched beside the well of Herod, so that the host of the Midianites were on the north side of them, by the hill of Morah in the valley. And the Lord said unto Gideon, The people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, Mine own hand has saved me. Now therefore go to, proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, Whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. And there returned of the people 22,000, and there remained 10,000. And the Lord said unto Gideon, The people are yet too many. Bring them down into the water, and I will try them for thee there. And it shall be that of whom I say unto thee, This shall go with thee, the same shall go with thee. And of whomsoever I say unto thee, This shall not go with thee, the same shall not go. So he brought down the people into the water. And the Lord said unto Gideon, Everyone that lappeth of the water with his tongue, as a dog lappeth, him shalt thou set by himself. Likewise, every one that boweth down upon his knees to drink, the number of them that lapped, putting their hands to their mouth, were 300 men. But all the rest of the people bowed down upon their knees to drink water. And the Lord said unto Gideon, By the 300 men that lapped, I will save you, and deliver the Midianites into thine hand, and let all the other people go every man unto his place. So the people took victuals in their hand, and their trumpets, and he sent all the rest of Israel, every man into his tent, and retained those 300 men. And the host of Midian was beneath him in the valley. And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, Arise, get thee down unto the host, for I have delivered it into thy hand. But if thou fear to go down, go thou with Korah, thy servant, down to the host, and thou shalt hear what they say. And afterward thine hand shall be strengthened to go down unto the host. Then went he down with Pharaoh his servant unto the outside of the armed men that were in the host. And the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the children of the east lay along in the valley like grasshoppers for multitude. And their camels were without number as the sand of the seaside for multitude. And when Gideon was come, behold, there was a man that told a dream unto his fellow and said, Behold, I dreamed a dream. And lo, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the host of Midian, and came into a tent, and smote it that it fell, and overturned it, that the tent lay along. And his fellow answered and said, This is nothing else, save the sword of Gideon the son of Joash, a man of Israel, for into his hand hath God delivered Midian and all the host. And it was so, when Gideon heard the telling of the dream, and the interpretation thereof, that he worshipped, and returned unto the house of Israel, and said, Arise, for the Lord hath delivered into your hand the host of Midian. And he divided the 300 men into three companies, and had put a trumpet in every man's hand, with empty pitchers and lamps within the pitchers. And he said unto them, Look on me, and do likewise. And behold, when I come to the outside of the camp, it shall be that, as I do, so shall ye do. When I blow the trumpet, I and all that are with me, then blow ye the trumpets also on every side of all the camp, and say, The sword of the Lord and of Gideon. So Gideon and the 300 men that were with him came into the outside of the camp in the beginning of the middle watch, when they had newly set the watch. And they blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers that were in their hands. And the three companies blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers, and held the lamps in their left hands, and the trumpets in their right hands, to blow withal. And they cried, The sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And they stood every man in his place round about the camp. And all the host ran and cried and fled. And the 300 blew the trumpets, and the Lord set every man's sword against his fellow, even throughout all the hosts. And the host fled. I won't say all those names. And the men of Israel gathered themselves together out of Naphtali, and out of Asher, and out of all Manasseh, and pursued after the Midianites. And we'll stop reading there. I was inspired by the story, because a lot of action in this story, but here's a man that had a lot of deep, had to be heart-rending decisions to make. Would he follow or wouldn't he follow God? And I like to use the weapons of battle as an outline this morning. I have several points, and under each point, there's a pitcher, there's a lamp, and there's a trumpet. But the pitcher was an earthen vessel. You've probably seen pictures of them in Bible story books or old drawings or pictures from years ago, before they had plastic. They had used pottery, used earthenware to hold things, to move water, to move, well, any kind of food, anything like that that you wanted to move. They used a pitcher, and it was made by a potter, made of clay and baked till it was hard. I like to think of that pitcher as us as humans. The part that has to be broken, the part that has to be surrendered, the part that has to be used. The second instrument of battle was the lamp. It was a light that was covered up by the pitcher. There was a light to show the way. And the last instrument they used was the trumpet, an instrument to declare a message. It was an instrument that was used to declare victory. They were to blow this trumpet in victory before the battle even started. Well, the people here had a dilemma. If you go back to the beginning of chapter 6, the people had a dilemma. Point number one is the dilemma. The people were impoverished. The people had sinned. The people had, yes, they had been taught of the ways of God. Even Gideon says, we were taught these stories. We were taught about these miracles. And yet, they went after other gods. And because of that, God withdrew his protection from the people. And they were broken. They were under control. And they were nearly devoured by the enemy. Can you imagine what it would be like to have a multitude come up against you without number? How big is that? As the sands of the seashore. When they looked down the valley, it was just full of the enemy. And after the Israelites had planted and their crops had grown, then the enemy showed up to eat it. Isn't that how the evil one is? Shows up to take it away. Right when we feel like we're having victory, the enemy shows up to take it away. And the enemy came with tents. I found that interesting. They came with tents and they came with camels. Specifically mentions they came with tents. They came to stay. They came to take. It just came, probably more than a vacation. But they were just going to come and just eat of the land after the people of Israel had worked so hard. Well, there was a light here. There was a lamp. that happened here. The people began to cry after God. People cried for God. They had enough of this, and they started crying to God. And God gave them a man. God called Gideon to come and be their man. And there was a light here as well. It had the ring of victory. There was a hope that was given to these people as this man began to stand up to be their deliverer. Number two is the appointment. God had an appointment for somebody. He had an appointment specifically for Gideon. Gideon was hired. He was hiding and threshing out his wheat. But God needed someone to do more than hide and thresh out the wheat. God needed someone who would stand in the gap between right and wrong, who would declare a victory for the people. He needed someone to speak out against the evil that was happening. He needed someone to speak out against the idol worship. He needed someone to call them to return to the true God. And there was a light here. There was a confirmation from God. The light was the angel. The angel came and brought a promise. And he asked Gideon to be willing to break his pitcher. Willem. He said, Gideon, will you break yourself? Will you give of yourself? Would you be willing to do that? And the angel showed him a miracle as a sign, as a promise. And Gideon surrendered himself, and he built an altar to prove it. Gideon did have fear in his life. He said, we come from a family of nobodies. We come from a family of nobodies, and I am the least in my father's house. Certainly you're not asking me to be the one to go do this for you. I can't go do this for you. Have you ever felt that way? Give me a sign to prove to me that this is what I'm supposed to do. And the angel did. He went and got him food, brought him back food, thinking he was going to feed the man. The man put it on a rock and burnt it and disappeared. And suddenly, Gideon perceived that he had seen God. There was a trumpet in that experience. Suddenly, he realized he had the answer. Number three, the grove. The grove was the third place where God used these three things. Immediately thereafter, God said to Gideon, you need to go destroy your father's place of worship. Go get rid of it. Take your father's animals as a sacrifice. Go cut down his trees to burn that sacrifice. Think about this. Go destroy that idol. I don't know how big it was. Probably carved this thing. Go destroy this thing. Must not have been a small task because he had to take 10 men with him to do it. And they did it in a night. They cut down all the trees, they smashed this idol, and they offered sacrifice, burnt the trees, and offered the animal that they had taken that was not theirs to God. This was kicking a hornet's nest. This is what was throwing a rock right through the middle of a hornet's nest. No doubt he was going to face backlash, and he knew it. That's why he went and did it at night. But I really wondered, was at night any better? Have you ever burnt a bonfire at night? Have you ever thrown a large animal on it and burned it, all the fat, cremated an animal on it? In the morning, everybody knew. Gideon was willing to break that pitcher. He was willing to break that pitcher, to destroy that place, to smash the idols, to cut down the grove, and to offer that animal that wasn't his. Gideon chose to obey. That was the light. That was the lamp in this situation. Here was a man that was willing to stand up against everyone else. And then there was a trumpet here as well. And that was Gideon's father. Gideon's own father came out. When the other men wanted to stone Gideon, he said, "Let the God fight for himself. If anybody tries to fight for this God before he has a chance to fight for himself, that person should be stoned." And that was like a trumpet, a cry of victory to Gideon in this situation. God was going to take care of this. His fears, he didn't have to fear his fears. God was going to take care of him. Gideon gets off scot-free again, even after he did all this. The fourth situation Gideon found himself in was the fleece. Gideon was driven by fear. This message this morning is a lot about fear. And we can identify with that. We're scared to do the things that we know we should do. Either we're afraid we'll face resistance, we're afraid we won't have the energy to do it, we're going to fall down in the task before we get it done. Did Gideon really need another sign? Hadn't he had his sign? Hadn't he already seen the angel? How many other Israelites saw the angel? No, but Gideon saw the angel. How many other people had seen the food disappear and the angel disappear with it? He already had his sign, but he asked God for another sign. He had already had the miracle of the spare life after he had destroyed the grove. Well, Gideon's humanity had to be broken again. He had to be willing to submit himself to God. He asked for the sign of the fleece, and God did it. God did it. Not only once, God did it twice. And maybe for somehow in his mind, Gideon was a man just like we. Maybe he thought, well, maybe this was a fluke. Maybe somehow the fleece got wet and the ground didn't. But he wrung it out and he had a bowl full. Now, have you ever laid something out in the dew overnight? Picked up a coat or something that you left outside. You tried to wring it out. I've never wrung even a drop out unless it rained. This was only dew and he got a bowl full. That wasn't enough of a miracle. He asked for another miracle. And God gave him another one. It was perfectly dry. The fleece that should have absorbed the moisture first was dry. And the ground was wet. And that was a lamp and a trumpet to Gideon. The impossible happens, and it happens very thoroughly, and it happens again. Is that the way it is in our life? I'm not sure it was okay for Gideon to test God. I'm not sure it's okay for us to test God. But we do. We do. Gideon already had the call. We already have the call. We know what to do. But instead, we test God again. The fifth place we see here is the assembly of the army. He had one more time. He had to break this pitcher. He calls for the men to come. He sends out messengers. They go up through the tribes. I believe it was the tribes to the north. Tell them to come gather by the well, Herod. 32,000 men came to join him there. That was quite a crowd. I've never seen 32,000. But it was small compared to the company of the Midianites and the Amalekites, who were without number. They had a number on their crowd. Midianites didn't have a number on theirs. They had animals, they had beasts, they had camels by sand by the sea. And then God says, this is too many. I'm going to chop it by two-thirds, more than two-thirds. Anybody who's afraid, go home. Tell them to go home. And Gideon had to go out there. Tell these men, I needed you, I called for you, but you need to go home. That was breaking a pitcher in a man's life, giving up of himself. Only 10,000 remained. But God wasn't satisfied. He wasn't satisfied until he had only 300. So I'm going to send you down there to the water, and I'm going to whittle down your crowd. I'm not going to tell you how. Tell everybody to get a drink. And after everybody was getting a drink, God said, now pick out the men that are raising the water to their mouth with their hand. Those are the ones that were going to go to you. Gideon was a man. Can you imagine how he felt? He started looking around, 10,000 men. How many do you have to go by before you find one that was? And after you look again, here's another one that is. Ended up being only 300. But there was a light in the trumpet in this as well. God wasn't going to let Gideon fight in his own strength. God didn't want Gideon to fight in his own strength. And that had a ring of victory to it. God doesn't want you today to fight in your own strength. He wants to be here to help you with your victory. God was afraid that the crisis would be neutralized without the people learning a lesson. That this crisis would go away and the people wouldn't learn anything from it. Rather, they would become more proud of their accomplishment. So he said, send them away. How many crises are neutralized in my life without anything being accomplished? It's a lesson to learn. Sometimes these trials and these disappointments, they go away right out over our heads. We don't even learn the lesson that God wants us to learn. Surrender, patience, the overcoming of fear, and trust. These are the things that Gideon dealt with. But there was another situation that God had for Gideon. And this time God initiated it. I don't know if he saw some fear in Gideon's heart or what it was. But he initiated this situation. One more time, you have the picture. The flesh that was weak. Gideon, having the will to do it. He was committed. He was going to follow God. He was going to make this happen. And God said, why don't you go down next to the camp? That probably would have scared me. Not only had God taken away the 32,000 and left him with 10, he took away the 10 and left him with 300. Now he said, Gideon, go down there with you and one servant right next to the camp. Go real close. You're going to hear something. That probably would have scared me to do that. But Gideon did it. When he went down, stood outside the tent, right outside the tent of someone that had identified him as the one that would destroy him. I don't know if they would have recognized him, if they knew he was out there or not. But they listened to the man tell the dream. They eavesdropped through the tent. He was that close. And the man says, this little loaf, it was a strange dream, came down and knocked down the whole tent. How did this happen? That's a funny dream. But the other man wasn't laughing. He said, that's Gideon. That's Gideon. He's going to come and take us off. Sure enough, he did. There was a trumpet in this story. None other than Gideon will defeat us. What did Gideon do? He worshiped. Now, you must be able to worship without making noise. It must be okay to worship in your heart. But I think that's what he was doing. As soon as he heard that, worshiped and went away back to his men. And he came back. The last situation we have here is the battle. In the picture that he had was only 300 men against so many. He had to accept this. And not only that, it seems like when God gets started breaking us down, he doesn't stop until he uncovers everything. The 300 men were supposed to spread out. They split into three groups and then they spread out. How are you going to destroy an army of that many men? Everyone spread out, not even allowed to stand together. And in addition to that, did you notice it was right after a newly set watch? Now you would think they would go right before the newly set watch when the men were getting sleepy. But no, God sent them down there right after the newly set watch. And the men were alert and looking around. And yet they didn't see Gideon and his 300 men surround them. There was a light here. They followed God's plan. God had a plan. And they followed it in detail. And there was a trumpet here. God gave them a victory without them even lifting a sword. The enemy destroyed themselves. And they stood back and watched. And then the rest of the children of Israel came and joined them, pursued them. But they were all gone out of the land. And they took of the spoil. God gave them a tremendous blessing. But the spoil became a snare. That's more of the story of Gideon. We won't go into it. How does this apply to our lives today? What's the application to make? Have you been making an application? What is the picture that must be broken in my life? Psalm 34, verse 18 says, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Do we have a broken heart and a contrite spirit before the Almighty One? I think every one of us would love to be used like Gideon. Wouldn't you love to be used like Gideon? That just to be able to go out there and spread the gospel and tell people and stand in the gap and save the church and make a difference in this generation. I think every one of us would like to do that. But it's so hard to be broken, and it takes brokenness in order to do that. So hard to be of a contrite spirit. Psalm 51, verse 17. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Isaiah 57, verse 15. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place, with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. God wants to dwell with the contrite and the humble. We need to be broken. We're going to be used of God. Matthew 21, verse 42. Jesus said unto them, did ye never read in the scripture, the stone which your builders reject, the same has become the head of the corner? This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore I say unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you, and given to a nation, bringing forth the fruits thereof. And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind into powder. Jesus here is calling us to fall upon him and be broken, to claim him as our master, as our Lord of our life, to give us direction in our life, be broken in that way, so that we can be of use to him. And in the Last Supper, as recorded in 1 Corinthians 11, in the Last Supper Jesus said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you, this too in remembrance of me. See, my body is being broken for you. I'm going to go to the cross, and I need you do the same thing for me. What does it mean to be broken? When a pitcher is broken, it means being yielded. It means being willing to be used. I choose to give myself. I'm broken. Broken also means sacrifice. I give of what I have. I give of all that I own. Thought about all the things that this pitcher could not be used for anymore. After it was broken, what was it used for? What did it matter? What would you do, sisters, if someone came and knocked on your door and said, "All your Tupperware, your princess house, whatever you have, I need some of your instruments, some of your pictures that you have. Would you give it?" Then they took it and you knew it wasn't coming back. That's what happened to these people. I don't know where they got all the pictures, but somebody had to give up of something that they held dear to themselves. They had to give it up. And it wasn't coming back. And they weren't getting paid for it either, I doubt. These people were impoverished by now. And it was destroyed. It was taken out and destroyed. But it was for the betterment of the kingdom of God. It was for the victory of God. And so it was worth it. How do we apply all these things today? I thought about what's been happening in America for the last number of weeks. There's been a lot of graduations. There's been a lot of commencement speeches, and young people are being told, you can have whatever you dream of, whatever you dream, whatever you want. If you pursue it, you can have it, you can get it. Is that true? Is that true? It's not true. Many, many people will be disappointed not achieving the dreams that they would like to achieve, and when they achieve them, they'll take wings and fly away. This is not God's way. What is God's way? So often we say, I know what I want. I want what I want. I know what job I want. I know what promotions I want. I know what money I need to make. Or I know what church I want to be a part of. And I know what they should require of me and shouldn't require of me. They can ask me to do this and not that. I know what service I want to be of in God's kingdom. I know where I want to serve. I know where I don't want to serve. This is where it needs to be. This is what we're being told. But that's not the God of Gideon, and that's not the God of today. He's the one that makes the choices. Sometimes the most capable people are doing something. He says, no, you don't get to do that. Sometimes people who are not capable, he said, I want you to do it. That's the God that we serve. He takes, he almost said pride. I don't know if that's a word to describe God. But he takes great joy in the weak accomplishing his purpose. I don't know what God's asking you to do this week, but he wants to call the shots, and we need to listen. What is the light? Jesus is the light. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And he said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I like to think of that light as both ways. Light as in not heavy, but also light as in my burden is what gives you deliverance from this world. My burden that I give you is the light to take you out of here. Matthew 16, verse 24, and Jesus said unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels. And then he shall reward every man according to his works. Jesus says here, we need to get our priorities arranged with his priorities. The things that we try to save are the things so often we're going to lose. Let's cling to the things that he wants us to cling to. Let's not exchange our soul for something that is temporal. Let's be really sure that our soul is anchored to what it needs to be anchored to. And this brotherhood this morning helps you do that. Being a part of an assembly, being a part, being a member of a church, and holding yourself accountable to that will really help you do that. They can look into your life and see where you are saying yes to Jesus and where you are saying yes to your flesh. And we need that. We need that picture in our life. Sometimes our brother has to get a hold of it and break it for us. Well, there is a trumpet as well. Matthew 24, verse 31. He shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. There's going to be a trumpet, and there's going to be angels that go out and gather us up. Isn't that beautiful? He's going to gather us all up, bring us together to him. They're not going to miss anyone. Not going to miss a single soul. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 52. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. It's going to be but a moment. Maybe today. I look forward to that time, and I'm sure you do as well. Twinkling of an eye, when that trumpet sounds, we're changed. The victory is won. Revelation 1, verse 7. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. Jesus is coming. Every eye will see him. Every one of us, whether we live for him or whether we don't. Gideon chose to live in this reality with his life. The opportunities for him to be killed for what he was doing were numerous. Yet he laid down his life time and time again because he wanted to live. He believed in God. He believed in what God had promised and said to him. He wanted to live in that reality. Let's make that same commitment today to live in that reality of Gideon. Let's kneel for prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you this morning for your love through us. Thank you for your finger in our life. It has touched us. Your voice has called us. We have responded. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for Jesus this morning. Thank you for the blood that was shed for us. Thank you for the man that was willing. looked into the Word and we found lessons in it to apply to our lives today. We pray that you would help us to be like Jesus and to be like Gideon. Father, we pray that you would help us to be willing to lay down the flesh. It's so hard, Lord, to give up the things that this body wants in exchange for the things that you want from us. Father, we pray that you would help us to do so. Pray that you would help us to make choices to reach out to others instead of going and having fun. Help us, Lord, to use this Lord's Day today to make a difference in other people's lives. Father, thank you for the light. Thank you for the promise of deliverance from all the evil that we find here in this world. And thank you, Lord, for the trumpet. Thank you for the cry of victory that we can already hear, ringing that we can already see. It hasn't been completely fulfilled yet. We pray, Lord, that you would help us to be faithful until that time. So go with us and bless us.